Let us pray. Lord God, even though you are the God who never changes, and your word stands firm forever, the world around us is changing all the time. And the way you reach out to people changes as well. We see it all the way from the Old Testament to the New, that you deal with people in new and different and vibrant and life-giving ways. Lord, as we go through changes here at St. Paul's, help us to understand that we need to continue to look to you to lead the way, to bring us to where you need us and want us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Change. Change is everywhere. And I'm not talking about the stuff that's in your pockets and your purse. Everything is changing. I look in the mirror and I see change, and not usually for the better. When I turn on the news, I realize that change is happening rapidly in the world around us, as well as in our own local community. And a lot of that change isn't for the better either. Some changes are expected and they're welcomed by us, like the growth of a child. We want them to change. We want to see them grow. Other changes are unexpected and not welcomed by us at all, like the death of a loved one or a friend, job losses, and detrimental changes to our health. Almost nothing stays the same. Look at our own situation here. We have seen change in our own congregation in the last few years, changes that some, probably most, didn't want. But the truth is that nothing stays the same, at least not in this physical world. And we're not done with change around here either. In fact, I can guarantee that a lot more changes are coming. They will have to come, as we will have to welcome them if we want to follow God's plan for us, and if we want to have a congregation that's doing what God wants in years to come. We are told in our scripture reading this morning that there is a time and that there is a season for everything. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. And in Psalm 139, we are told about the days in between that they are written in God's book. It is a life that involves growth in many areas of our lives, and it is a life that involves change. The life that the Lord has created for us is not a stagnant life of just standing still. The life that the Lord wants us to live as individuals and as a congregation is an ever-changing journey, almost like a river journey, where there is a current that sweeps us along. A journey that includes bends and twists that we don't always see coming. But because of our human nature, we don't seem to like that change. We like to stop. We like to hold on to the things that we think are solid and admire the scenery and stay for a while. When we find something comfortable, we like to stay there, like relationships, like tradition, like rituals and buildings. But all these things can change. Nevertheless, people like to hold on to these earthly things and bring them momentary meaning and comfort. But they always run the risk of a painful separation. People who want to hold on to the past, those who are unwilling to change with the circumstances around them, or who don't want to continue along the journey that the Lord has for them, remind me of those channel markers that you see in the Trent River. I'm not talking about the concrete ones, but the ones that float and are attached to a steel line to the bottom of the river. Have you ever seen those markers trying to stay in one spot in the spring when the water is rushing past? They submerge, they get tossed around, and they stay in one place. People who want to hold on to the past are in many ways like that. They hold on and they get tossed around emotionally and perhaps spiritually. What they are trying to hold on to, what they think gives their life meaning, is changing. But instead of changing with the times, they try to hold on. And when they do, they either break down or they break away. They break down because they become tired of holding on. They get tired and weary of trying to get everything to look like it once was. They become exhausted trying to keep the meaning of their lives focused on one thing instead of God. So they get depressed, they get tired, and they can get angry. And eventually they become unfit to continue the journey that the Lord has for them. Others break away. The change is just too much. They don't want to get out of their comfort zone and continue the journey that the Lord has for them personally or as part of a congregation. They can't stand the thought of things not being as they once were, so they leave. They go somewhere else to become a part of another congregation's journey, hoping that no change comes to that place. We've seen that here. People getting tired of trying to hold on to the past. People leaving because they can't stand seeing what they have cherished and loved change in front of their eyes. But thankfully, you have stayed for that journey. And I think that most of you by now realize that there is nothing that can be done except in faith to let go of the past and continue on the journey that the Lord has for you and for this congregation. We have been forced to embrace change. And you know what? In ways, that is a good thing. Because without change, we will never grow. It seems, though, that in the past few years, we have been on a growth spurt. Maybe not in numbers, but in grace, in trust, and in faith. We've had to grow in these areas or die as a congregation. If we didn't adapt to the change, our doors would already have been closed. And today there are many churches who are closing their doors because they don't want to embrace the change that God wants and needs to bring to their congregation. Too many congregations are bound by their traditions, so they can't embrace the future. Warren Wiersbe, who was a Christian pastor and author, tells us in one of his books, "Over the years I have seen churches flounder and almost destroy themselves in the futile attempts to embalm the past and to escape the future. Their theme song was, 'As it was in the beginning, so shall it ever be, world without end. Amen.'" He says that he has often prayed with and for godly Christian leaders who were criticized, persecuted, and attacked simply because, like Joshua, they had a divine commission to lead a ministry into new fields of conquest. But the people, he said, would not follow. He says more than one pastor has been offered as a sacrificial lamb because he dared to suggest that the church make some changes. A lot of the change that we have seen so far in our congregation has really been thrust upon us. And we have had to react to the situation that we have found ourselves in. And despite hardships, long days, and some sleepless nights, we have persevered and we have made it this far. But what we will face in the future will be different. It will be very different. Because instead of reacting to what is going on around us and dealing with it primarily in a business way, what we face can only be accomplished if we are prepared for change, any kind of change. And we will only get to where we need to be if we pray, listen, and obey. Our focus as a session, as a board of managers, trustees, and as a congregation, we'll have to continue changing from a primary focus on business to a primary focus on spiritual disciplines. We will have to continue moving from a focus on money to a move to a focus on faith, and from business decisions to simple obedience. Why am I saying this? Because I truly believe that there is a lot of change still coming our way if we want to be a part of God's plan. And you can either embrace it or reject it. You can either try to remake what we had or work with the Lord to bring in something new. You can try to hold on to the past and break down or break away. Or you can let go and let the Lord lead you on the journey that He has for you. It's our choice. And as it is in all matters concerning obedience, we will have to live with whatever decision we make. And our decisions shouldn't be based upon what we want. Because guess what? This isn't our church. It's His church. Our past isn't our history. It's a part of His story. And we should be thankful that we are facing change, because that means that we are still alive. And it shows that the Lord wants us to grow in new and in deeper ways. Every living organism that the Lord creates is designed to change. Whatever and whoever is given life is supposed to grow. You and I were born. We were given life by God Himself. But the Lord didn't want us to stay as babies. He wanted us to grow, to mature into the people that we are today. And it is the same with His church. God gave birth to this congregation 185 years ago, not for our glory, but for His. Not for our plans and desires, but so that His will could be accomplished through us. This congregation was birthed, and it grew and matured. Unfortunately, there were some unhealthy things that came in over the years. And anything that is unhealthy does not grow, and eventually it will die. But God has seen our hearts. He has seen our willingness to follow Him, to humble ourselves before Him in prayer. And I believe we are getting another chance. But will we embrace the change that is coming? That is something I hope that the session and other church leaders will be discussing at the retreat we're having in September. I believe that every leader in this congregation should strive to be there. In fact, unless most of the leaders are there, I don't think it will be effective at all. This is a critical time when we need to work together, discuss things together, pray together, listen to God's voice together, and obey Him together. If we don't do these things together, we will fall apart and we will miss the way. This is a critical time in the life of this congregation. And even if we are tired, we need to keep going together until we see the victory. The future may involve doing things very differently, which may mean letting go of some things that are meaningful to us and doing other things that require that we get out of our comfort zone. Because the truth is, this congregation isn't really about us. It is about us reaching our community with and for Jesus Christ. It's not about our comfort. It's about the salvation of others. It's not about our groups. It is about building the kingdom of God. That is the purpose of the church, any church, including ours. And if any church forgets its true purpose, it becomes unhealthy. And any church that remains unhealthy declines in faith, in grace, and in numbers until it eventually dies. We're seeing it all around us, especially in the traditional denominations. They want to hold on to things that just don't last. They are getting away from their God-ordained purpose. They don't focus on the Bible and prayer like they used to. They have started looking in instead of reaching out. They are like the channel markers in the river, holding on to things that make them comfortable, only to drown in the process. If we want a future here at St. Paul's, we need to embrace the changes that God will bring. A new worship place, a new way of worshiping, new outreaches, new goals. And the more that we are open to change, godly change, the more that we will grow. But by changing, we can't adapt to the culture around us. Because the purpose of the church isn't to conform to the thoughts of our society. It is to be an example, a prophetic voice in the darkness, so that our society has the choice to conform to the truth of the Bible or not. If they do, blessings will follow. If they don't, judgment will. As verse 17 says, there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. As you and I stand in the midst of change for this congregation, we need to realize that change is coming. But at the same time, we have to be thankful to the Lord for what He has given us in the past. The time spent here together, the memories of family and friends, the special events in our life that took place here. Those memories are beautiful, and they should always be cherished. As verse 11 of our reading says, the Lord has made everything beautiful in its time. But that time has come and gone. And now we are being asked to move forward into the future that the Lord has for us. We are living in turbulent and changing times. Change is everywhere we look. But as we face the future, are we left without any stability at all? When we realize that there is nothing in this world that lasts, what do we hold on to as we deal with the changes that we have to face? What is our true anchor? What will hold us firm in the turbulence of change? It is none other than the one who changes the seasons, who brings new things, the one who decrees the time for this and the time for that. It is the one who holds all things in His hands, including you and me when we look to Him. There are only two things that will never change. From before time, they were there, and they will be there for all of eternity. They had no beginning, and they will have no end. And in all that time, they have never, ever changed. God never changes, and neither does His Word. And that is what you and I have to hold on to as we face the future together. Malachi 3:6 tells us, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." In Hebrews 3:8 we are told, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." If you feel that your life is being pushed around this way and that way, if the changes in the world, in your life, or in our congregation are getting too much for you, look again to God in faith and in prayer. Get into His Word, and there you will find solid ground. You will find the truth that never changes. You will find stability, the comfort, and the strength to carry on. And when you look to the future, you shouldn't just view the future as just the next few years ahead of us. Verse 11 tells us that God has set eternity in the human heart. For any of us to accept the changes that are in our lives and in the life of our congregation, we need to look at those changes with an eternal view. What we have gone through may not make much sense to us now. And what we will face in the future may not make much sense then either. But God's plans, the changes that He brings, are with eternity in mind. And when we grasp that, we will find change easier to accept. We also need to quit trying to figure things out for ourselves, because we'll just drive ourselves crazy. That's because we will never be able to figure out what God has. We're not God. And the sooner we can accept that, the better. When we realize that it is God who has the answers, our stress levels will dramatically decrease. We have to remember the words at the end of verse 11 in our reading, which says, "No one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." Only God knows why things happen the way they do. It could be to bring about His will, deepen our faith, develop our faith, or for 1,000 different reasons. We don't know right now, but we just have to trust Him and follow Him anyway. That's why, as we move forward, prayer meetings will be far more important than business meetings. God already has it figured out, and we will only get the answers through prayer. So as we face the future, a future that I know will be full of change, let us follow the advice of Corrie ten Boom, who said, "Hold everything lightly in your hands. Otherwise, it hurts when God pries it from your fingers." And let us remember that God will not be able to bring about change in our congregation until he can bring about a personal change in each one of us. So let us be open to what the Lord has for us. Let us get our hope and our strength from him and from his word. Let us be thankful for what God has given us in the past. And let us embrace the future with all the changes that it will bring, with enthusiasm and with excitement. Because whatever the Lord has planned for us, if we accept it, it will be good. And our future will be filled with blessings, both for us and for the world around us.